Good evening and welcome to KILI, Lakota Storytelling Hour. My name is Brian Sergeant Cloud, and I come up here on Wednesdays from 5 to 6, and I bring you story announcements in Lakota language. And I want to thank Lloyd for opening the door, and he's always up here and supporting Kili Radio. He's up here, announcements, and he keeps everybody informed. So thank you, Lloyd. And also this afternoon, I was home alone, and I had the Kili Radio on, and I heard Jesse up here, Jesse Shortbu. And it's good to hear young people come up here, and he was talking about 1868 treaty, and I thought that was very good. Jesse, if you're out there listening, have a good evening. And also James. James just left here. I know him since he was small, and him and my son Ryan played basketball for Red Cloud, and James speaks Lakota. In fact, when someone asked me, anybody speak Lakota out there? And I always say, well, I go to all the schools, and I know I only have two people, maybe three, they're at Red Cloud. One of them is James. So James, washtail. Lakotia pikoleto haon ya Johannik. Koyatona nako patangkapin na nila pilamaya. Elgetsias na wauna. Takungs na ublake. Nahalikta atuk ya kola ikitana waktama kahaya stukia. Tim, if you're listening, have a good evening and maybe next time come up here with me. Tim always comes up here, and it's good to have two people talk. And, he has a lot of, he speaks Lakota, and him and I always talk Lakota. So Tim, you're always welcome up here. And then I always, whenever I come up here, I always say persevere and commitment. Okay, and this is on the Lakota language. I have been doing this Lakota language and I don't do it just one day or 2 days. I do it every day at the school. And right now, especially the young ones around kindergarten, first, second, they are doing really good. And I'm hoping that the other ones will catch on too. And in the upper grades, and also we have high schools here on the reservation, other reservations, and I'm hoping that it'll go beyond that, and, so that maybe one or two, maybe 10, 20, maybe it'll just keep going, and a lot of our young people speak Lakota. So before I forget, I'm going to say good evening to Tom over in Pine Ridge. Tom, if you're listening, I know he told me one time, you haven't been going up there, he says. So Tom, I'm up here, and if you're listening, have a good evening. And Charlie too, up in Martin. Have a good evening. And this is 90.1 Kanin Sinte and 88.7 in Rapid City and kiliradio.org on the internet. And welcome to Kili Radio. last week, I was in Rapid City at School of Mines, and I had a chance to spend 5 days with, I think there was 35 boys from all over Indian country, Wakpala, St. Francis, Todd County, here, Bateslin, American Horse, Manderson, that's Mondidney School, Rocky Ford, and they were very good. They were outstanding. They were really into all of them. We always say reading, and they all were good readers. But one thing was, I heard some Lakota words in there. Someone in that group, they were getting noisy, and I heard someone say, "Inila yang kapo." So there's a Lakota speaker out there somewhere. So that's the, you know, whenever I come up here, I always tell you the good side, and then I tell the bad side. Okay, so the good side was that there's boys out there that are learning, not only Lakota, but they are going to be really good students. Wherever they go, they are going into high school next year, this coming fall. The other one is I spent Monday through Friday with them, and sometimes we talk, and sometimes I will say, "So how many times do you get Lakota?" And one of them will say once a week. One of them will say it's elective, so we don't have to take Lakota. But he said most of us are taking Spanish. And then one of them will say twice a week. So, you know, if you really, that's not much. If you only spend 30 minutes a week, or even 60 minutes a week, you're not going to learn Lakota. You might learn some words, colors. So I think it all comes down to, I think last time I came up here, I mentioned that we had a meeting one time, way back, about 14 years ago. And at that time, we put them in order. Which one is going to be the most effective? At that time, it was Tiata. Tiata is home. And then immersion. And then some kind of standards. And then some maybe Ohunkaka songs. But that Tiata Echela, if they're only taking Lakota 130 minutes a week at the school, then, I mean, we always say that. It's not really, the school cannot really do all the Lakota. It has to start from the home. So Teata Echela is number one. So I thought I'd pass that on. So like at Monday Night School, we have Monday through Friday, Lakota. Some schools will have Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Some schools have once a week. Some schools don't have any Lakota. But they do offer Spanish. So that's something to, I was thinking about that. So I thought I'd pass that along. Something to think about. Okay, on the announcements of, I know that a lot of the schools are probably starting their summer food programs. Now, here at Wounded Knee, they started this week. And but the buses don't run till next week. So next week, the buses will run from Monday. And it's called Summer Lunch Program. So remember that. You can go to the school and eat. And then I have something here. We have reading in Lakota summer schedule. And we have been doing this for, this is my fifth year now. And when we started this, we pictured a Changleshka. So you'll have four colors, four parts. So we divide our summer, like when you start in September to December. And then, so ours goes all year round. So this summer Lakota schedule will start on the 16th, June 16th. And also the reading program. And it'll start at 9:30 in the morning. And then the reading will start at 9:45. Then the Lakota will start at 10:30. And then we have lunch. And then we have cultural activity from 1 to 2:30. And then from 2:30 it's kids club. So if you are listening, especially in Manderson and Wounded Knee, you are welcome. It's, and I already talked to some of the students that are really doing good in Lakota, so they will be coming Monday and we will pick you up. I know who you are, I know where you live. So the buses will start running Monday. Okay, and then it'll go on for till the end of July. So it'll be for 6 weeks. So again, remember that. And then today, I was looking through my stories, and I have one here that I would like to touch on, and it has to do with a place called Tuba City, and we aren't going through the same what they are going through, and I'm going to read it. And then maybe we'll learn something from there. And I want to say thanks for listening. And right now you are going back from work, drive slow. Be sure to buckle up. And I want to thank the listeners from Bulawoke, Ogallala, many Luzana, many Kata, Agliotaka Otwahe, that's Crawford, Rushvale, and Gordon. Okay, this one here is it's a little story that's it's written by John Rayner. John Rayner is a he's always active in the language revitalization. Okay, this one here is called Turning Point in Tuba City. The people of Tuba City, like those in many other communities, Indian communities, are at a critical juncture. The children of Tuba City could come of age in a community steeped in the joys of Navajo and Hopi life, as well as enjoy the benefits of participation in a larger society, particularly higher income and higher education. However, such achievements will not come easily. Okay, then he goes on. A vicious cycle persists that is very difficult to break. Lack of community infrastructure and many social problems contribute to language shift. Okay, now language shift is simply language will shift when you don't speak, like say Lakota, then it'll shift to English. Right now, since they're offering Spanish in our schools, some of you will go to speak Spanish. So it'll be English and Spanish. Language shift, okay? Language shift fosters dysfunctional behavior, and so it goes. So much damage has been inflicted on the local cultures that many people seem rather fatalistic about language loss, not to mention failing to solve the many social problems associated with the accompanying cultural unraveling, it says. Okay, now the good part. Lakota and non-Lakota are collaborating rather effectively in addressing language-related issues. Intelligent youth, many destined to be leaders of tomorrow, demonstrate renewed interest in joining with their elders in revitalizing the most valuable birthright, the Lakota language, culture, and land. A special resiliency, as well as a vision for a higher future, clearly exist. Okay, so even without like the community, or the like, a lot of our like our school, we always use the words community support, parental support, and that's really important. So today we're all working towards not only getting our children ready for even completing eighth grade, but going into high school. So we're collaborating, and that's really a good sign. And then now we are doing something about the Lakota language, our language, because that's who we are. And we need to teach our children. So that's, you know, that's just a little story about one. I always used Tuba City. I think it's the second time I told a story about Tuba City. So, working with children, I always when you work with children for a long time, and whether it's reading, math, Lakota, it's you cannot do it alone. It's like the word he used here, collaboration. We have to have that. We have to all work together to really teach our children. And we are doing that now. And so maybe we will see some really good signs in the future. And we have a new staff at the Wounded Knee School, and we are looking forward to a really good school year, and it's all about the kids. We always say that. Whatever we do at the school, it's for the children. Okay, I have one story. I was looking through my stories, and I found this one. And, it's called "We Are Little Brother to the Buffalo," the Tatanka. And this is by Pete Catches Sr. Okay. And he's gonna, did a really, I really like this little story. It's a short story. This is the story of how the buffalo and the Lakota became brothers. Long ago, so the legend goes, there was grass above the waist and the draws in these rolling plains. The grass was that tall, leaning over one way or the other. It was bountiful. And wherever there was a herd of buffalo, there were always bulls. There was the head bull and the younger ones. The bulls encircled the grazing buffalo herd because there would be calves among them, yearlings and small ones. In that time, bears and wolves were plentiful on the plains. These bears and wolves would prey on the weak and the old buffalo for protection. For protection, the leaders in the buffalo herd encircled the other buffalo and they would face out. This legend tells us that an old buffalo bull was standing there on the plains. It was a cold and windy day. Somewhere he heard a voice crying. The voice said our things. I am cold. I am hungry. I am weak. I am thirsty. The buffalo bull was listening. The power of the mysterious Wakantranka to instill into the mind of this old buffalo bull to think kindly is amazing. Besides, the old bull sought the direction in which the voice was coming. But it was hard to discern because the wind was blowing. He went down close to the earth and tried to follow the sound, that weeping, that crying. In the course of time, he came to a blood clot. It was the blood clot that was crying. I am cold. I am hungry. I am weak. I am thirsty. The old buffalo bull sniffed at it and he looked very closely. That blood clot was the Lakota people, the red man. It was there that the Great Spirit inspired in this buffalo that he would give everything of himself, his whole being, and even his spirit to this one in need. So the Buffalo Bull said to this crying individual, I will be your big brother. I will give you all that I am. Look at me. I am strong. I am not weak. I am strong. I went through all these years fighting my battles, winning out. I bear the scars of battle, but I am victorious, and I am to this point in life a leader of the herd. So I am not weak. Look about you. All over creation is my feed. I can eat here, I can eat there, I can eat everywhere. So I am never hungry. Look at me. Look at me. Look at my mane. The forepart of my being is all fur. When the blizzard winds blow, I walk facing the blowing wind and can eat the grass on the way. And when I stand still, I face the wind because the forepart of my being is all fur. And I am never cold, so I will make you my little brother. We will be like one. We will be together. You can have my hide to live in. You can have my flesh to eat, so that you will not be hungry. You will be like me. When you do these things, you will be strong. So there at that instant, that moment, the Buffalo and the Lakota became brothers. This is why the Lakota use every part of the buffalo that they kill. Not one single part is wasted or thrown away. In many instances, the Lakota used buffalo for curing of any sickness. The part of the meat on the hump of the buffalo is held sacred for the Lakota. We are little brother to the buffalo. So, that is why the Tatanka is, remember in that little story it says that no part of that buffalo is wasted. The meat, the fat, the hair, there's many uses, hair pieces, ropes, horns are used, bones, skull, altar, beard, teeth, ornaments, brains, food, tongue, hoofs and claws, foot bones, tendons, liver, gall, bladder, stomach liner, they use that for cooking vessels, water container, stomach contents, tail is for decorations, rawhide, a lot of things, tanned hide, ropes, moccasins, blankets. So everything is used. And we hear this story all the time. And I think I told one story one time. Also, this is another story. And it's a very short story. And it was told by another gentleman from here. And I think he grew up around Rocky Ford. And he told his story one time at an immersion camp. And he said that Tatanka, Apte Oyate, give us the Lakota language. Mm-hmm. I'll tell it one of these days. I have it at the house. So I'll bring it up. The other one that I'm going to tell is is washkate. Okay, now this one here, I'm going to do it in English language. It's called washkate. All people have games and sports. They are a part of a people's way of life, their culture. And then this one here, I'll just go to one paragraph. Lakota games teach the value of endurance, the power to stick to something even when it demands such strength and causes pain. The games teach the value of risk. Okay. People are constantly taking risks for each other. One takes a risk and trusts another person. He may come through, he may not. If he does, further trust is given. Okay. Games also teach competitiveness, the desire to excel. But that desire is balanced by another value, that's respect. Games also teach the ability to realize a game is only a game. No one goes away hungry. So in other words, it teaches them how to lose too. For the Lakota children, to learn the value is very important. Games, besides being fun, teach values. Games also teach boys what men should do, and teach girls what women should do. Games for the Lakota people, like any people, are important. They are fun, but they also teach skills important to children. And that's, I always tell the school, the hand game team, you learn the game, and then when you know what you're doing, then you will be good. And then also to be good losers and good winners. So I want to say thank you for listening, and I want to say thanks to Kili Radio, and I want to say thanks to Lloyd, and have a great evening.